Major Tom to ground control. Good morning. Okay, the message today is spending time with God. In today's gospel reading, we find Simon the Pharisee, a religious leader, has invited Jesus to dine with him. Although he didn't realize it at the time, and perhaps never ever realized it, Simon was spending time with God. However, in this meeting, Simon's thoughts are of judging Jesus, and by extension his followers, and questioning his abilities as a prophet. Thank you. I'm not proud of it, but I can personally relate to this attitude from my pre-Christian days. Jesus, however, knows what Simon is thinking and answers his unexpressed question, as he often did in the way of a parable. He even knows why Simon invited Jesus to dine with him. That part of this encounter is reflected in my message this morning, the fact that he knows who we are and what we want. Have you ever thought about what spending time with God really means? In a way, I hope I'm preaching to the choir, because if so, it means that you're way ahead of me in what I'm about to talk to you this morning. So please bear with me for the next few minutes. I can only talk to you of what I know from personal experience. And if anyone can relate to it, then perhaps these next few minutes will prove valuable. Do you ever have those days or weeks or seasons even when you feel you're not really connecting with or even close to God? Seasons is a good word to describe those times. You go through religious motions like coming to church, personal prayer time, and perhaps even Bible study, but you don't really feel his presence. I hate it when that happens. I've always had trouble praying, not so much in the expression of my needs, but in the discipline of setting aside prayer time. It's easy for me to roll off a list of wants when I do pray, as the list seems endless. My problem, I think, is me. I think too much of me and my busyness most of the time to meet the discipline of establishing a meaningful prayer time. At the same time, I recognize that those times when I do concentrate on God and what he's done for me, my emotional life and, by extension, everything else is always so much better. So why don't I spend more time with him? I don't know. I just know I should. In the Apostle Paul's letter to Thessalonians, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." As many of you know, here at St. Francis, we have huddle sessions for those of us in various ministries. In those sessions, we're asked if and how we were affected by the Holy Spirit during the previous days. The term used is a kairos moment, meaning when we were in communion with or spoken to by the Holy Spirit. We often don't recognize it, and when we do, we usually don't realize it until after the fact. John called me about 3 weeks ago to ask me to share with you a kairos moment that had stopped me in my tracks in what I was doing at that time, one that I'd shared during the huddle a couple of weeks earlier. I don't mean to make it sound overly dramatic, because it wasn't. What it was an overwhelming urge to go down on my knees right then and do what I thought was to pray. I didn't know why or what he wanted me to pray about. I remember asking him, "Why are you telling me to do this? And what do you want me to say or ask for?" You see, usually when this type of feeling comes over me, it doesn't, and it comes from time to time, it's because I have people or concerns on my mind that I need to talk to him about. But this time it was different, because I had no clue as to why I found myself on my knees. So I just stayed there for a while, wondering what was going on. I then realized he just wanted me to be still and rest in him. Ask for nothing, say nothing, relax, and just clear my mind. John sometimes uses the word abide, and that's exactly the best description for what I was to do, abide in him. Just do nothing, be still, don't even think. I never looked at it this way before, but thinking requires an effort. And that effort prevents me from abiding in him. Thinking also prevents me from listening, which is really important if I'm to hear or understand what he's trying to tell me. That moment I had, that Kairos moment, lasted approximately 5 minutes. And I must tell you, I didn't want it to end. In my mind, I was hearing, "Don't worry, I've got this." The feeling was one of peace that was indescribable. The Jewish word is shalom. I had a sense that this was just a tiny taste of what we can expect when we move on. Paul says in Galatians 3:26, "So in Christ Jesus, we are all children of God." Children of God. The term is used quite often. However, I never really gave it much thought other than to acknowledge it as another name for believers. Only recently have I understood what it really describes to me. In Genesis 1:26 it says, "Let us make mankind in our image." He didn't make the other creatures in his image, just mankind. He gave his spirit to dwell in us so that we might have communion with him. We have a special relationship with God. If you're a parent, you know, you know that love that you have for your children. You feel that they're part of you. They have your characteristics. Even with grandchildren, you have that same sense of them being a part of you. You love them when they're good. You love them when they're bad. You try to comfort them when they're sorrowful. You really do feel their pain when they go through their trials. And you rejoice in their successes. And yes, you even chastise them when necessary. You also realize that they don't know how much you love them, how often you think of them, how you want the absolute best for them, and how you want to keep them from hurt or worry. It's no less the same relationship that God has with us. In fact, his love for us is perfect, and I shouldn't even be comparing the two. But I'm trying to illustrate a point, and that's this. Just like we want our kids to be safe, worry-free, and close by, God wants this and more for us, more perfectly than we do. He even wants his children with him all the time. I know I can't honestly say that. I'm sure many of you will agree. In fact, he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us on a cross that we might have eternal life with him. My realization is this: do not worry, do not be afraid. In whatever happens, God has got this. We belong to him. It's all good. I also believe that the Holy Spirit talks to us much more than we ever realize, even and especially when we are far too busy in our daily lives to give him the time of day. It could be in those ideas that we get from time to time that we think that we came up with, or in the favors we might do for someone in need, or that warm feeling we get when we do help someone out. However, if you've ever experienced that feeling of abiding in him, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then I suggest you become aware that Jesus is quite often calling to you in one form or another to abide in him. So try this. Sometime when you're on your own, just find some place to sit quietly, be still, close your eyes and relax your mind to where it becomes blank. Now, Eddie will tell you, my mind is blank most of the time. It might take you a little longer than me. Then don't think. Head will tell you that also. comes quite naturally to me. Just listen. Something she says I never do. So once again, just find a quiet place. Be still. Close your eyes. Relax. Don't think. Just listen. If nothing happens, that's okay. Your mind is still thinking. Try it again another time. Then another. He will speak to you. Probably not out loud, but you will know. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for all you are to us and for calling us your children. Help us to spend time with you and to abide in you. Help us to listen for you. Help us to hear you. And help us to love you, for we cannot do anything without you. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.